man, that's going to play with my head that whole entire match now.
Yeah, and I have to credit Chris. Chris and I have been talking.
Oh, Chris is incredible.
Chris kind of goes that way, too. I think it makes sense. So let's move on now to one of the mixed tag teams of the night. I hope it's so much better than last year's. Man, I hated last year's. But you've got Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle against Stephanie McMahon and Triple H.
So was it WrestleMania 31 when Ronda Rousey made her appearance with The Rock? And I think she, put pretty much an arm flip over with Triple H. Yeah. Everyone was freaking out. They're like, Rousey's coming here. And all of a sudden there was rumor. And then there was killing the rumor of if she was coming to the WWE.
Do you remember what happened right after that?
Yeah.
She got beat up at UFC.
By Holly Holmes.
Yeah, and that kind of took away some of the mystique.
So, she made a couple appearances in between the couple of years that she was here. Finally, she became a regular gal here, and
yeah.
She's been phenomenal since.
Except for promos.
She's getting there. Oh. I mean, she's working on it. Look, you don't have to do promos in UFC. You just get in the ring and beat the crap out of somebody. You don't promo anything. So, she's getting there. I think, man, Rousey, I hope this match doesn't turn to be garbage. I'm afraid it's going to. But I'm going to say Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Lose. Yeah, I'm giving the win to Angle and Rousey. I don't know why. There might even be some help. Like, there might be something that we don't see coming. That's going to give them a little bit of a push.
So my prediction is that Stephanie and Triple H will win with help from Ronda Rousey.
Turning on Angle?
I don't know why, but I just see her demeanor. Especially that look when she looks underneath her eyes.
And it's so hot. Oh
yeah, so you want some ice? It's just right behind you there. I'm kind of predicting that Ronda Rousey will do some sort of turn on Kurt Angle, and then that will take care of the promo situation because Stephanie will be her mouthpiece for a while until she learns how to do promos. Okay?
NyQuil, take me away. I pick Triple H and Stephanie McMahon to win. I pick Ronda Rousey to turn on Kurt Angle. I think after Raw went off, saw Stephanie put Ronda through the table.
Yes.
Didn't want to spoil it. Okay. I pick after that little incident with Stephanie putting Ronda through the table, that's just a prelude right there of, okay, she's going to turn heel. She'll turn heel because the corporate faction right there, I can see Ronda doing that because what better mouthpiece to have than Stephanie McMahon? Because we all know Ronda can't cut a promo.
Ooh.
And no, she can't cut a promo. And what better fingers down the chalkboard than Stephanie McMahon to get on the mic and start talking for her? It'd be better than her talking because anything you get from her, she doesn't know how to go back in time. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah. That's true. ESPN found that out. So.
I watched that entire thing on ESPN and I just sat there shaking my head. And I thought, okay, did that last kick to your face jar your brain? What is wrong with you?
I think if we ever find out what happened, I think something happened in between interviews or something like that that kicked her off. And she, I don't think she wanted to be there.
Well, the last interview she did on First Take with Max Kellerman, and Max was saying, look, I've been defending you and all this. And she goes, I don't need your help. That was the Ronda Rousey that I've always seen, that she looked like she could, if she could have reached through that camera, she would have grabbed him and probably choked him. So yeah. And frankly, I wouldn't want to be on the end of anything that woman ever put on top of me because hell, she probably could snap my arm in 5 seconds and she's good. I've seen her workouts. I've seen her training. And she trained for 12 hours straight. Heck, I can't even go to sleep for 12 hours without doing that. I mean, come on. She's good. But like I said, I pick Stephanie and Triple H to win, and I pick Ronda Rousey to turn on Kurt Angle. She'll probably put him in the arm bar. And what better way to knock out Kurt Angle for a while than maybe break Kurt Angle's arm?
Hmm.
They want a new general manager. What better way? Knock out Kurt Angle. So
I like.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a double cross. So
yeah, she's got a bad reputation.
Okay, now we go to the first. I call them double main eventers. I mean, these two matches have the potential to, especially this one. I think this might be the match of the night. The WWE Championship with the phenomenal AJ Styles against the Michael Jackson wannabe Shinsuke. Can you say the name? Nakamura?
It's my job to say Shinsuke. It's your job to say Nakamura.
Okay.
Don't take away my job.
I would never do that. So do your job.
So in this match, it'll be Shinsuke
Nakamura
versus
the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Oh, this one's going to be good.
I think it might be the match of the night.
This one's going to be good. I wish it was one of those, not extreme rules, but almost a no-holds-barred match, and just let him go all out. But at the same time, them having just a normal DQ match still is going to be electrifying itself, and that's saying something.
It's going to be high-flying. It's going to be ground-based. I mean, Shinsuke, to me, has been doing his best work in the WWE leading up to WrestleMania. And I just think it's going to be the match of the night. Because AJ is just that good, and Shinsuke is dang good. And I think it's going to be a phenomenal match.
I'm taking Shinsuke for the win. Yeah. And actually, you know what? It wasn't really that hard to decide. It was just looking at the WrestleMania and role of WWE as a whole in a picture. And I think it's better that Shinsuke wins than AJ Styles.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not a big Shinsuke Nakamura fan, but I think Shinsuke will win. And that'll set up a feud or AJ going over to Raw.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, I picked Shinsuke Nakamura to finally win the WWE title. It's about time that they put it on him. AJ and them are going to tear down the house like they did at New Japan. And when those two went at it the last time, it was a match where you were on the edge of your seat, high-flying, hard-hitting, and these two just tore the building down. And I think that AJ is going to do well. I think Nakamura is just going to – he's going to take that knee and put it right to that face, and then that's going to be it, 1, 2, 3. But it's going to be a high-flying – it's going to be a high-flying match, and then we're going to get to see him grab the top rope and bend over like he's in the Matrix.
Maybe it's just because he and AJ have really good chemistry, but when he stopped from putting the knee to face – and then he patted AJ on the top of the head. I thought that was great.
It's like an appetizer, and the main course is coming very soon, sir.
So then the main event, I guess you could call it the main event of the evening, has the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar, against Roman Reigns.
The two people who defeated The Undertaker at WrestleMania will finally face each other. Uh-huh. And, man, I hope this match doesn't suck. And, you know, it's really interesting. In WrestleMania 31, 32, and 33, the WWE tried to force Roman Reigns down the Universe's throat as a face. And you know what? It didn't work. Mm-hmm. It never, ever worked. And so now you have a part-timer like Brock Lesnar, who, by the way, is being rumored to go back to UFC.
Exactly.
As a face. He's a part-timer going back to UFC, and he's the face of this match. Even John Cena had more success 10 years later being the face at WrestleMania than Roman Reigns has.
Well, a lot of people don't like Roman, but the last few weeks before Brock came back on Raw, when Roman was cutting these promos, talking about him being a part-timer and he didn't care and things like that, that was some of the best promo work he's ever done. Yeah, he did good. So who are you going to pick?
Oh, Roman's winning. Yeah, Roman's winning this match. Mm-hmm. Whether the fans like it or not, they're going to have to just get over it and deal with it. Roman's going to win this match, and I think he's going to hold that title for a while.
Agreed. I will agree 100%.
Yeah. People are going to be upset, and I don't blame them, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're up to the, quote, main event of the night. Probably the match that I have really the least amount of interest in, because I'm not a fan of either wrestler. But it could turn out to be a very good big man match, as Brock Lesnar, with his advocate, Paul Heyman, coming to take on Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship.
Well, would you like to place a bet on how many Superman punches it's going to take Roman Reigns to hit Brock Lesnar with? I pick
how many? Well, okay, let's say how many Superman punches and how many German suplexes?
German suplex for Brock Lesnar, I'd say about maybe 12. For the Superman punch, I say 7. And I don't know who to really pick for this one. I mean, I could care less for both wrestlers. I don't like Brock Lesnar. And I really don't like the boy that Vince likes, the golden boy. I don't like Roman Reigns. This is a match where if you're an insomniac, this will put you to sleep. No problem. Watch this for about 5 minutes, and you'll be on the bed going, okay, is this over with you? No, I don't like –
You know, you're going to pick who?
I'm going to pick Brock Lesnar. Wow. I'm going to pick Brock Lesnar to retain the WWE title, but I'm going to add a little thing to it. There's a rumor going around that Conor McGregor is supposed to be at WrestleMania. He's supposedly going to be there. Conor McGregor is going to interfere somehow. I pick Conor McGregor to interfere, either because he's already caused a problem at USC yesterday at the media, and he called out Brock Lesnar. Now, Conor called out Brock Lesnar.
That wouldn't be much of a fight.
I think the last hit that Conor took by Floyd Mayweather kind of rattled his brain.
Brock Lesnar's almost twice his size.
Yeah, but Conor really doesn't care. Conor doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in it for the money. That's all he wants. He wants money. But Conor McGregor is supposed to be at WrestleMania, and if he is, look for him to be in the front row and look for him to interfere. Maybe the WWE will pay him a little bit of side money to say, okay, grab Brock, slap Brock. Do something.
Over the last few weeks, John Cena has been talking about going to WrestleMania as a fan.
Oh, God.
He's been calling out The Undertaker. Stop. Will The Undertaker appear when John Cena, you know they're going to put him in the ring, and they're going to have Cena cutting a promo once again?
Well, yeah, he has to come out, because if John Cena just cuts a promo and no one shows up, then you have all hell breaks loose. Like you have to have him. You have to have him out there. And Undertaker's got to come out. Now, whether he wrestles or not, I have no idea. In fact, I put 98% of him that he doesn't wrestle. I mean, maybe he comes out and says, yeah, I'll fight you at
35.
Yeah.
That's one of the rumors.
Which is just all get out is stupid. First of all, he retired. Well, he should retire 2 years ago. He retired last year. And I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he was telling me this is almost a Ric Flair thing. Like, they retired Ric Flair in the WWE, but yet he came back. He still made appearances. He still is wrestling at some points. And it's just enough's enough. I mean, look, I'm the biggest Undertaker fan you know of, and I said this ad nauseum, but let's move on. Like, let's be done with it, and let's say, all right, it was a great career. And by the way, if John Cena beats The Undertaker, we had no right even having this match in the first place. What the crap did we accomplish? Undertaker coming back and getting beat up again? That happened last year and the year before. Let's move on already.
I'm still trying to figure out the word ad nausea. Are you nauseous?
Nauseam.
Oh, nauseam. Okay. Understood.
It means at length, too much, overdone, redundant.
Kind of like a steak.
Kind of like The Undertaker being at WrestleMania.
I think here's a theory.
I'd love to hear your theory on this because this is good theory. Bugging me.
Okay. John Cena in the ring, cutting a promo. Kid Rock comes down the entrance ramp. He's talking at John Cena about his friend, The Undertaker, and that he has a message from The Undertaker for John Cena. And that message will be Kid Rock singing American Badass, and the American Badass as The Undertaker when he's out there, when he did that gimmick with the American Badass, riding a Harley down that ramp. He'll come in, and there will be some sort of altercation in the ring, maybe setting up WrestleMania 35, or they'll just fight a little bit.
Great. So we're going to see an old, wrinkly dude on a motorcycle come down.
Aren't they mostly that way?
In his, well, not even a motorcycle, probably like a motor wheelchair, and have a fight with John Cena, and then get laid out and then lay in the ring for 35 minutes. While the crowd chants, Undertaker, and then he goes to the back, he passes out, and Vince McMahon has to get some help to put him back up. They put him in the ambulance and take him to the hospital.
Okay.
Sound familiar? Yeah,
it does.
That's the last 2 years of The Undertaker, by the way, okay. WrestleMania. That's just, it's just annoying. It really is. I
believe that John Cena is going to come to the ring, he's going to start cutting a promo, and then all of a sudden, you're going to see Kid Rock walk out, and he's going to start singing American Badass. And then here comes the Harley. And then here comes the American Badass. And it'll be a squash match.
Here comes Mr. Taker. Me, Mark Callis, King of Pain.
Uh-huh. The Texas Red.
Well, I forgot about that one, so. I think you're on that one, my man. I do. That's kind of what I think is going to happen. So,
well, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Kid Rock's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. He sang American Badass, and that's what The Undertaker used. And I think this has been really well done that Undertaker hasn't been on Raw. He hasn't said a word. He hasn't been on Twitter. He hasn't been on Instagram. Nothing. And I think that's what
did you hear what happened with Michelle McCool, his wife?
No, I did not.
Well, there was a fan, and Michelle is very active on Twitter, and a fan sent her a message just upset that The Undertaker was not there. And so her response is, "We're having breakfast now." And that was it. I loved it. I loved it.
That's perfect. That's perfect. I love it. That's perfect. I mean, WrestleMania is not WrestleMania without The Undertaker. And it's not really The Undertaker anymore because the streak is over. I mean, that's what people look forward to. You wanted to see who was going to take it down, and no one ever did. And he fought through, and he always won. And now it's, I don't want to see this.
It makes sense that he lost last year and put his hat and his jacket in the middle of the ring and to bring him back as the American Badass. That makes sense.
It does make sense, but the only question I have is if they're actually going to bring him back, is this going to be the last time? Is this it? The last time? Or are you going to be a part-timer? Maybe they put the belt, maybe they put a world championship around him. Very doubtful. How old is The Undertaker? What, 54, 55?
Yeah, he's in his 50s, so.
And, I mean, Father Time's undefeated. And the toll on the body that man has taken throughout the years. It's time for him to retire. And, one last time in the ring, but it would be so funny if John just stood there and nothing happened. He just stands there, and everyone's chanting Cena sucks, and that's it. And he just has to walk off. That would be a good thing. Yeah. But yeah, I see Kid Rock coming out, and he'll start singing American Badass, and then that man walks out, and that place will erupt when they see
it. Yeah, it will.
Let's go ahead and go through the matches one more time just to make sure everyone's on clear cut understanding. The Cruiserweight Championship will face, if I can just find my notes I just had here, jeez, Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali. That will be for the vacant, by the way, vacant WWE Cruiserweight Championship. I'm excited about that one. You have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle. You have the WrestleMania Women's Diva, I should say, Battle Royal. You have the, let's see here, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. Brock Lesnar, current WWE Universal Championship holder, will face Roman Reigns. AJ Styles is your current WWE Championship title holder. He faces Shinsuke
Nakamura.
The Miz, currently holding the Intercontinental Championship, will face Seth Rollins and Finn
Balor.
Randy Orton is your current U.S. title holder. He'll face Bobby Roode and Jinder Mahal and
Rusev Day.
Alexa Bliss holds your Raw's Women's WWE Championship. She'll face Nia Jax. Charlotte Flair, as a WWE SmackDown Women's title holder, will face Asuka,
the Empress of Tomorrow.
Cesaro and Sheamus, The Bar, will face Braun Strowman and a to-be-determined opponent. But if you ask Dave, he thinks it's going to be
Bobby Lashley or Rey Mysterio Jr.
The WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship will have the Usos versus A New Day versus the Bludgeon Brothers. The mixed tag team match, there'll be two of them, Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And actually, this other one isn't mixed, excuse me, but Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, both 50-year-old bad neck people. In fact, it's the bad neck team tag, versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That is your lineup card for WrestleMania 34, which will again be held at the Silverdome.
No. It's the Superdome.
In New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Mountain Time starts 3 o'clock. Main events, or main match card, I should say, is 5 o'clock start.
That's Mountain Time.
You can find that on the WWE Network as well.
And the WWE Network, if you haven't got onto it yet,
is,
you can actually get it free for WrestleMania. And then $99.99 a month. $9.99 a month. And today I was on the webpage, and they're also offering 3 months worth of WWE Network for $9.99, including 1 month free with WrestleMania included.
I'm going to be making up some email addresses so I can get that for free.
Cool.
Those are our predictions for WrestleMania 34. Coming up next, it is the man, the myth. He is a legend as well. Chris Evans is going to give us some updates on the SmackDown General Manager. You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash with Dave Denton, Ozzy Salveson, and Zane Peterson.
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost of words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris on the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
You know he's going to be going as the general manager for SmackDown now, don't you?
I heard a rumor it was going to be Hulk.
No.
Who'd you hear?
Jeff Jarrett. Yep, Jeff Jarrett. He's in the talks right now with Vince McMahon about taking over SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I hopefully it is Jeff Jarrett. It'd be real good to have him as the manager. I think it would be really good for him.
The general manager of SmackDown is going to have to change. Of course, you've got Shane, who has basically resigned, and then you got Daniel Bryan, who's back in the competitors aspect. So they're going to have to do something on Tuesday night.
Oh, they're going to have to right now. I mean, and the way things are looking, hopefully we can figure it out. But it, like I said, it all depends on where the cards may fall and see what Jeff wants to do.
Yeah, that's the big thing. He's had a lot of personal issues over the last couple of years, but we do wish him the best. I remember Jeff Jarrett when he was probably 16 or 17 competing in Memphis, and I'm telling you, my thigh weighs more than he did then. He was skinny.
Wasn't he a referee also?
Yeah, he refereed for a little bit. Uh-huh. And then the King had been wrestling for a couple of years. I think he was refereeing at that point a little bit, and then he started being a competitor. Remember, he wore bright yellow trunks that kind of had a little sag in the bottom, you know? It looked like, I'm not going to say that.
Got you.
He was thin.
Oh, yes, he was, but he was one heck of a competitor.
He did do some wrestling late last year in Memphis. He stepped in for Jerry Lawler at an event at the Memphis Grizzlies game.
Oh,
that
really?
They were doing a wrestling night there, and he competed there a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Hopefully he can get back in the ring again. I sincerely doubt it, but knowing Jeff like we do, he still has that competitive blood. So he probably could.
I mean, he's still in excellent condition, and he probably will, you know, back it up, as they say, as a commissioner, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the ring sometime. So,
yeah, hopefully.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @TurnbuckleTrash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
Scene, Mr. T with Spoken Joe Frazier in his corner, meeting Rowdy Roddy Piper with Lou Duva in his corner. Recently, we talked to Mr. T about this one.
I'm on the 18th set right now, but I'm still training for the big match on April the 7th against Rowdy Roddy Piper. I've been punching out everybody, punching out my bodyguards, sparring partners. Hard to find somebody to stay in the ring with me. I tell you, for you kids out there, I know I kind of let you down on March the 1st, but it wasn't my intention. I tell you, they double-team me. They did some sneaky stuff, but I'll be ready this time. I'm boxing and jabbing and hooking and punching. I tell you, I've been trying to get guys to stay in the ring with me, paying them big bucks to stay in the ring with me. I tell you, I've been offering one guy a diamond ring if he can stay in the ring with me for 9 rounds. I got to get ready for Piper.
All right, Mr. T, as serious as can be, and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Welcome to KVNU's For the People, Hour 2 of today's show. It's Wednesday, April 4th, and it being Wednesday in Hour 2, it's time for us to step away from politics into the world of pop culture. Jessica Dunion traveling this week, so we've invited a very special guest host into the studio today, a man that if you have any taste in music, you've heard before on the airwaves here in Cache Valley. The man behind Cool 103.9, Dave Denton, joining us here in studio. But Dave, you're wearing a different hat here in our studio today. You're here as a resident pop culture expert on many things. I told listeners in Hour 1, you are encyclopedic in your knowledge of music, comic books, action figures, all things Comic-Con. But specifically today, you're here to talk to us about something that is, when it comes to pop culture, whether people love it or hate it, everyone knows it, WrestleMania. And we're coming up on the 34th WrestleMania. It blows me away. That clip we heard was from the first.
Yes.
Mr. T punching it out.
Pity the fool. I pity that fool.
This is, again, whether someone is a wrestling fan or not, they know these faces. They know these names. Everyone knows who Hulk Hogan is.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows. People may have forgotten where Mr. T came from because of the A-Team and some other things, but this is where he originated, WrestleMania, wrestling, and then WrestleMania. So for a lot of people, this is still a big annual event.
This is one of the biggest sporting events in the world.
Blows me away the money that is involved here.
Yeah, before I get too far started, I wanted to wish you a happy Rusev Day.
Oh, right.
Bill, also, happy Rusev Day to you. Happy Rusev Day. Wearing the t-shirt and everything today.
Yes, he is. Yeah, happy Rusev Day.
And my WWE pants, too. I had to come just prepared. No, really, WrestleMania, when it started 34 years ago, was an extreme gamble on Vince McMahon Jr.'s part.
Sure.
He put everything he owned up.
Amazing.
To see if this would work. And it was a fantastic success. It has grown now that This is WrestleMania week. They have programming every night this week on the USA Network. And then on Friday night, they're having the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And people like Hillbilly Jim is going to be there, Mark Henry, a musician going into the celebrity wing, Kid Rock. He's going into the celebrity wing of that, the Dudley yeah. Boys. That's going to be on Friday night. That's going to be shown on the WWE Network, which is only $9.99 a month. But wait, the first month is free. They always do that.
That's but, the pitch.
Yeah,
huh?
And that is if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you another channel.
Yeah, we can do that for every. If you want to get just WrestleMania, it could be free for you. Just check out the website.
Sure.
But really, Vince did. Just he mortgaged the farm to get this thing off the ground, and since I've been a fan of professional wrestling since I was just a youngster, I mean, you know, I'm the old man around here, and I actually started back in the 60s in Memphis, Tennessee, watching Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, really?
And the fabulous Jackie Fargo and names yeah. like that. So
very cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's this to me the whole industry that's kind of built around this. You mentioned. You know, he mortgaged the farm to take this risk on the very first WrestleMania 34 years ago. And WrestleMania, I found this great article by accident, actually, as I was doing some research for the show today. Viacom president, this is just from 2017. He's talking about the advent of pay-per-view and building up some of these big events, and he credits that entirely to the success of WrestleMania. He literally says, pay-per-view was born, first tested, and proven viable by WrestleMania.
You're not going to get an argument from me.
That is really unique history.
Now, I didn't pay for the first one or the second one, but I was living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, working at a radio station there. And WrestleMania 3, the one in Detroit with Andre the Giant against Hulk Hogan, when Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant, I was watching. I that was the very first pay-per-view I ever purchased.
You saw it.
I saw it, and I loved every minute of it. A match between Randy Savage and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, one of the best matches in the history. That's what wrestling historians will tell you.
Sure,
but everybody remembers the Hulk and Andre the Giant.
I mean, it's a pretty iconic image. Hulk Hogan holding that guy, Andre the Giant. Up.
That man was huge.
He was huge.
And by the way, if you have HBO, there's going to be a documentary about the life of Andre the Giant. I think it's coming out this month.
Oh, very cool.
And his story is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah,
from you know, he was actually handicapped by his size. And they said he was the nicest gentleman in the world until you made him mad. Hulk Hogan even said he knew that it was a passing of the torch because if Andre would have gotten angry with him, it would have been over.
It was done.
That was how strong that man was. What, 7'3", 7'4", 500 pounds?
Yep.
And just enormous.
I remember reading that when he was in The Princess Bride, he started in The Princess Bride, they actually had to reinforce certain sets that he was going to be on. They had a ship set. They were going to be on the deck of a ship, and they had to reinforce the areas where he would stand because he was so much heavier than the other actors and actresses.
Incredible man.
But again, you know, that's another, you know, just iconic figure. He's kind of been forgotten, but I grew up in the, you know, I was a teen in the 80s, and so Lou Ferrigno was big. Never explained those rubber bands.
Well, you're talking Lou Albano.
Or I'm sorry, yeah, Albano.
Cyndi Lauper.
Was the Incredible Hulk, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Lou Albano, and he was in Cyndi Lauper videos, and I think he made an appearance in Goonies, didn't he, the movie?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Why is WrestleMania such a pervasive pop culture?
Well, you have your fans, and then you have people that are closet fans.
Oh, okay.
I run into closet fans all the time. You know, they'll say, well, I used to watch wrestling, but I don't know more. But, you know, I know John Cena is pretty cool.
They still all know
and
all the names.
Rock and the Usos and the New Day. And we call those closet fans. The people that don't want to admit they will turn on the TV or go to a website and see highlights or go to YouTube and see some old interviews or go to the might even have the WWE Network at home. But those are the ones
they keep
that
it under wraps.
Yeah. They keep it they keep it underneath wraps because they somehow feel embarrassed. I say embrace.
Yeah.
Because it's entertainment.
So I did a little surveying of my younger relatives, and I'm proud to report not in the closet about the WrestleMania fanship at all this week.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of surprisingly serious discussion and analysis of this sport, but it is, I think, more so than almost any other major sport that happens for fun.
Yeah. When people really look into it, professional wrestling has one of the highest incidences of podcasting.
Sure.
I think there are more podcasts. I read one time there were more podcasts about the subject of professional wrestling than any other
really?
One subject.
Interesting.
And it's interesting. And just like in any form of entertainment, you're going to find good, you're going to find, and then you're going to find some that are just really bad.
Sure.
And you can go and find some podcasts that are filth.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I'll tell you that. They're just filth.
I've run across some.
And yeah, and then you can also find podcasts that are very interesting, done by the wrestlers themselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Chris Jericho has a very good one. Stone Cold Steve Austin has a great one. They are very, very good. But then you have fan-based ones like we have on Turnbuckle Trash.
You host the Turnbuckle Trash
TurnbuckleTrash.net. And I have two co-hosts with me. I have Ajay Salveson, Juice.
Fun guy.
Yeah, he works around here some. And
troublemaker.
Then, yeah, he is a troublemaker. Isn't he? And then Zane Peterson, who originally lived in Lewiston. And Zane comes on with us via Skype, and we talk about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. And I think the one thing that might be just a little bit different about our podcast than most of them out there, we don't expect for people to think we're experts.
Sure.
We are fans of the sports entertainment. I just call it pro wrestling.
But you're very educated fans.
Very, very much.
On the subject.
Yeah, and then I think, to be honest with you, with my radio background and Ajay's radio background and Zane just being a nut, we have fun with it. We joke around. And then we talk about some very serious subjects, too.
Yeah.
Recently, the Fabulous Moolah, they were going to name the Battle Royal for the women after the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, yeah.
A very controversial figure in the world of professional wrestling. She's been accused of some, she's passed away now, but accused of some very, very, very serious charges.
Yeah.
And the WWE, after less than 1 week, backed off naming it after Fabulous Moolah. And I applaud them because I've read a lot about Fabulous Moolah, and this woman was not nice.
No.
Not nice.
to put it subtly, yes.
And then you just turn around and I'm not a big fan of the man, but John Cena, he is...
Now, you met him once, right?
I came close.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, down at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
He was doing his signing and his panel discussion the same time we were doing ours on the other side of the building.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But I have met Ron Simmons. I've met Chris Adonis, the Godfather, and then some local competitors like Martin Casal. Martin is on Lucha Underground as Marty the Moth. If you've ever watched Lucha Underground, he's just a wonderful guy. And we communicated a couple times, and we've met a few times. And he's actually in New Orleans this week going to WrestleMania.
Really?
And I'm hoping to be able to get him to join me to tell me about his
experience. Some inside
experience.
Stories.
Yes. And we had a guy that lives in Salt Lake City, and he is also getting some nationwide publicity. He works with several different organizations, including one that's really catching on. It's owned by Tommy Dreamer of the old ECW.
Oh,
it's called the House of Hardcore. He goes by the MK Bandit, and he's your traditional manager. And he was at WrestleMania last year and joined us on the podcast, too. So We run the gamut from just having fun to talking very seriously, and then we even have a segment we call Butt Fumbles. Remember the old thing on ESPN? When something just doesn't go right, you know, we talk about that, and and sometimes we have our very own. To believe you, know, that's what we do. Yeah, so.
that's my favorite part. This is a raw podcast. It's not heavily edited. It's you guys. Sometimes two of you. It's usually three of you. Just talking about something you're excited about and that you like. And more of Dave Denton, our guest here in studio. Dave Denton of Cool 103.9, talking to us about WrestleMania. Here during our pop culture hour. Every Wednesday at 5, we put away the politics and talk pop culture. The 34th annual WrestleMania coming up this Sunday, and there's a lot more to get to. For the People continues right after this.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You know what day today falls on? What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
What day is today?
Rusev Day!
Is Turnbuckle Trash.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
I don't have to miss.
I believe you. So what happens now?
We face each other as God intended. Sportsmanlike.
Welcome back to KBN News for the People. Little Andre the Giant there for everyone. So we invited Dave Denton into the studio today. And it's an honor to have you here in the studio. I love talking to you about this. And Dave, before we go to the news this hour, I wanted to bring up this. It's sort of the fun part of WrestleMania, or an entire season of wrestling, really. Mm-hmm. People trying to guess at. And I counted no less than 25 different websites just on a quick Google search speculating. But everybody trying to guess at the storylines, the unexpected twists. There's even a betting market on twists.
Can you believe that?
And it's huge.
It's huge.
As big as the Super Bowl, at least in the Vegas take here. There's a lot of interest in that, right? Trying to guess what's going to happen.
Yeah, one of the big questions this year is John Cena, who, by the way, I did bring you gifts today. I brought both of you a John Cena action figure from the guys at Turnbuckle Trash.
That's great.
Yeah. John Cena, by the way, has been, over the last month or two, trying to say that he has no match for WrestleMania. So he's been calling out The Undertaker, who supposedly retired last year. I don't know what's going on in these guys' minds, but there's been a lot of speculation whether John Cena will be having a match against The Undertaker or not. Cena's been on Raw saying some pretty bad things about calling The Undertaker a coward and all kinds of things. And if you don't know who The Undertaker is, oh my word, what a great character this man is.
Been around for a while, right?
Yes, The Undertaker. He started off basically in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, as Mean Mark Callis. He went to Texas and then became The Undertaker, and he just became one of the icons in the industry. But he retired last year after getting beaten by Roman Reigns, a very controversial thing in the wrestling world, too. And Cena's been calling him out to have one last match against him. And people are speculating whether he's going to be there or he's not going to be there, or they're going to set up something for WrestleMania 35. I even heard that rumor today. He trains mixed martial arts, so this is nobody you really want to mess with. And he is a huge man, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I suspect that John Cena will show up there and he'll say, they'll let him in the ring, and he'll say, I'm here because The Undertaker's a coward. And then you're going to hear the bong, and The Undertaker will come out. But it might not be that bong. It might be Kid Rock singing a song called American Badass. Excuse me.
It starts with that same sort of sound, right?
Yeah. As the song goes, The Undertaker would come out for a year or two, and he didn't have his traditional, like, being a grave digger's outfit. He would come out on a Harley, jeans, muscle shirt, and man, he looked bad. He was so bad he scared himself, you know. But I think something like that's going to happen. At least I hope it happens. because I think if they set it up to set up next year, I don't think it'll last that long. But the thing about the sport, if you understand what's going on, they are selling, they are getting stuff ready for the future, and they also perform. It's a great performance art that is very physical and can be extremely dangerous if you're not trained properly.
Don't you think that's kind of an underappreciated side of this?
Because Very much.
There are always debates. I remember the big debate is in the late 80s, early 90s, was it real, was it stage? What parts are stage, what parts are real? And that, to me, kind of missed the point that even things that might be a bit orchestrated require a high level of skill to do safely and in an entertaining way.
These guys get hurt.
Yeah.
They
the blood's real.
The blood is real. It's not a blood capsule. It's not ketchup. And they don't do much blood anymore. That's kind of sadistic. But Lucha Underground, by the way, they will do that. Marty the Moth did some bloody confrontations in the last two seasons. But, there have been people that have been paralyzed. People have been killed. I saw a match in WCW where Marcus Alexander Bagwell, Buff Bagwell, had a spot where Rick Steiner jumped off the top rope and they didn't hit it right, and he was paralyzed for several years, broke his neck.
I do remember that.